Welcome to the Two Brothers and Their Sports Podcast. I'm your co-host, Arif.
And I'm your other co-host, Harsh.
And today on the show, we have two topics to get to, starting off with the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament or March Madness, rocking the Duke jersey. Hopefully, they can pull off a crazy win or a few wins going into the championship rounds. And then we're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani's gambling scandal that's developed over the past few days. And then we'll get to that later on in the episode. But let's get started with the Sweet 16.
Kicking it off with the first game, it's the East Side. It's UConn versus San Diego State. And UConn's the number one seed, obviously the favorite right now by most people and the most picked bracket winner in America. But here I think they lose in the Sweet 16. I'm going San Diego State to make it back to the Elite Eight like they did last year. I think that they're going to beat UConn in this game. And it's going to be a close game, but in the end, San Diego State's going to be able to pull it out. That's just how March Madness is. It's craziness.
Yeah, so I'm gonna agree with that actually. I have SDSU beating UConn. I know UConn's great and they're the consensus number one. SDSU, like I said earlier last week, great defensive team. If they can get offensive going, they're gonna be really scary. They actually made the March Madness final last year and ended up losing. So they are a crazy team. They have experience. A lot of the guys stayed for this year, so they could be a really dangerous team, even going on to the future rounds, Final Four type I'm talking about. But next up is Illinois, Iowa State. I think this is gonna be a really, really good game. I'm gonna go with Iowa State, another underdog here in people's minds, a team that not many people expected to get this far, even though they are the two seed. I think they win here. It's gonna be a really good game. Illinois, Iowa State will. And I think Iowa State's really just gonna show up here. I think they have great offense and pretty good defense to hold off the Illinois Fighting Illini.
Yeah, I actually happen to have the same pick here as well, too. I think we're going to differentiate as we go down this bracket.
Yeah.
But I also have Iowa State winning here. I think it won't be as good as a game as you're talking about. I think it'll be a little bit more of a larger margin, about 10 points until the end. It might be like a 5-point game at the end, but not a crazy like nail biter game. I think Iowa State takes it away, and then in the Elite Eight it would be San Diego State versus Iowa State. And then moving to the West, the first game is North Carolina versus Alabama. I'm going UNC here. I think that they can beat Alabama pretty sure-handedly. Maybe they go down like they did against Michigan State early, but that crazy run to kick it off, they never looked back. I think the same thing is going to happen, whether they're losing or it's a close game. In the end, they're going to have a crazy run that helps them beat Alabama and advance to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, so I agree with you here. I'm going to go UNC. If you look back in our interviews file, we actually interviewed Armando Bacot 2 or 3 years ago, met him, and then asked him to be on the show. Crazy experience. So check that out if you haven't already. But this UNC team is really fueled by him. They have Cadeau manning the ball at the point guard position, Harrison Ingram, who can get hot and kill Duke in the first game. This is a very well-rounded team, a really good team. I think they could make a deep push. And then next up, the second game in the West is Clemson versus Arizona. I'm going to go with Arizona here. I actually have them making a very, very deep run. Stay tuned for later in the week and next week when I give my Final Four predictions. But I have them beating Clemson here. Clemson, kind of a Cinderella story, if you will. Four ACC teams all in the Sweet 16 this year. But I think it ends here. I think Arizona wins.
Yeah, I also think that Arizona will win here in the West as well, beating Clemson. I think that story that you're talking about comes to an end and that Arizona will be able to advance. It'll be the Caleb Love versus his old team UNC story in the Elite Eight, in my opinion. So then moving to the South, the next game is Houston versus Duke, the 1 versus 4 seed. And I think this is going to be a very good game, like very, very good. It's going to come down to the wire, and in the end, I do think that Duke is going to be able to win. I'm not just saying this because I used to be a Duke fan. I think Duke's just a good enough team, especially with Kyle Filipowski. He hasn't played amazing, but they've got him there. They've got other guys like Jared McCain, who is, I think, going to have an amazing game. He's already been such a great freshman. He's been dominating on the court, especially with his three-pointers. I think he's going to attack Houston. And Houston doesn't really have that one superstar. You could argue it's Shedd, but they don't really have a one huge superstar that's going to command them and help them win this game. I think that Duke's going to win at the very end. I think this is going to be a very good game, but I could see Houston winning it. I think this goes either way.
People are going to think we're scripting this, but I have the exact same thing. Why I'm wearing the Duke jersey? There were serious concerns coming into the NCAA tournament about how Duke was playing. And I talked about it. Lost UNC, lost NC State, didn't make it far in the ACC tournament at all. And they were a very high seed. They were barely a top 10, top 15 seed. And now they're here in the Sweet 16 in a game where it looked like, in a season where it looked like they were going to end very early in the March Madness. So Houston has been playing okay. They had an overtime scare last or a couple of days ago. Duke dominated JMU. And like I said, it looked like there was trouble. Kyle Filipowski, Tyrese Proctor came off the bench, played great. And Jared McCain dropped 30 last week. This is a very well-rounded team with Jeremy Roach, a senior, playing very well, commanding this team with experience. So I'm going to have to go with Duke. As crazy as it sounds, I had Houston winning this game, but the way it's been, Duke looks like they are a formidable enemy going forward. And then next up in the last game in the South is NC State Marquette. I had NC State making it this far, just not over Oakland. I had them beating Kentucky instead. Again, this was another team that was on the up at the end of the season, beat UNC, beat Duke, beat Clemson. But they're going against Marquette, a very great team. I have them losing here.
Yeah, I disagree here for the first time. I
Wow.
think NC State's beating Marquette, the 11 seed's continuing its dominance, making it all the way to the Elite Eight. And I just think that this is also going to be a good game. NC State has played much better than the 11 seed that it shows. They've played like a 5 seed, 4 seed. They've played better than teams. They've played much better than teams like Kentucky. The only comparable team is Oregon, which, by the way, I'm so sad that Dante and Cousinard got knocked out. Cousinard might have had the two greatest games that I've ever seen live of a single college basketball player. I don't really normally watch college basketball and watch guys drop 40 points, watch guys drop 40,
Yeah.
watch guys drop almost 40 points in that way where he's taking the ball, they're double teaming him. That was amazing. And Dante too, I mean, Oregon was this close to advancing, and I was so sad when they didn't advance against Creighton. But I think NC State is just as good as that team, and that team could beat Marquette. So I'm saying that NC State beats Marquette. It's Duke NC State in the Elite Eight. And then finally, the last two games are the Midwest games. It's Purdue versus Gonzaga. I got Purdue winning. I think that they will handily beat them on the back of Zach Edey. Not too much to say. He's one of, if not the greatest player in Purdue college basketball history. And he's one of the best college basketball players right now in the country. So I'm going Purdue. And then the last game is Creighton versus Tennessee. I got Tennessee here. I think that they are going to be the team that makes the deep push. You will hear next week our predictions for the who's going to win in the Final Four, make it to the finals, and then who's going to win the finale, the national championship. But Tennessee is one of those teams that will, in my opinion, make it this far. This is the team that I had in my original bracket, winning it, as you heard in our past episodes. So, look, I think Tennessee is a good enough team. Creighton has some great shooters. Tennessee has Dalton Kennett, Zakai Ziegler. I think that's all you need to know. That team is winning.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with the Purdue pick. The Boilermakers have looked really good in the NCAA tournament. We talked about how the consistency of Zach Edey could be a problem and this whole Purdue team, but that really hasn't been a concern. They've handily beat both of their two opponents. Now going against Gonzaga, I think they do win. I had Kansas in this game instead, but Gonzaga ended up beating them in the round of 32. I think Purdue wins here. Zach Edey, a Wooden Award finalist, just carries his team on his back. And then next up is Creighton, Tennessee. I have Creighton winning this game. I know you have Tennessee as your of a deep contender and a team that could make it really far. I disagree. I think Creighton is I have Creighton in my Final Four, I'll just say it right now. So I think Creighton could really pull off a couple upsets, which means they would have to beat Tennessee and then Purdue, which I think is a possibility. They're a very good team, and I think they could ride the inconsistency here of Purdue. So I have Creighton winning against Tennessee. I think they're a very well coached team, very good defensively, and can shoot the lights out of the ball if they want to.
Yeah, and then let's finally make our Elite Eight
Elite
predictions.
Eight
We'll
predictions.
just talk about who we have making it to the Final Four. So I'll just go through mine first. It's San Diego State versus Iowa State. I got SDSU making it to the Final Four for the second year in a row. And let's see next week if I have them advancing to the national championship. For the next game, it's North Carolina, Arizona. I got North Carolina advancing. I think that North Carolina gets the best of their former player and star, Caleb Love. Then it's Duke, NC State. That's the matchup of the North Carolina teams where we used to be around all these great college basketball teams. There's three now in the Elite Eight, in our opinions. I think Duke's going to be the one that makes it past NC State and advances to the Final Four. And then Tennessee, Purdue. I think Tennessee pulled out the upset off of Zakai Ziegler, who has played amazing in this tournament, and Dalton Kennett, one of the best short guards that I've ever seen. So that's my Final Four.
Yeah, so my Final Four, I have San Diego State winning against Iowa State. Same exact pick as you. I know it sounds crazy, a 5 seed people talk about. Seeding really doesn't play that huge of a factor. It's a big factor, but not a factor where it's going to be the favorites every single time. That's not how it works. I think SDSU does win here. And then Arizona UNC, I disagree. I have Caleb Love and this better Arizona team beating UNC. I know that Caleb Love is going to come out here fighting. He's going to play the lights out of this game. And I know that it's going to be a trouble for UNC and Hubert Davis controlling their former player when he's out for blood in this game. So I have Arizona. And then next up, Duke Marquette. I think the run ends here for Duke. Unfortunately, I have Marquette making it to the Final Four. And then my last Final Four pick, I revealed it earlier, is Creighton Purdue. I have Creighton winning that game. Again, I said they are a very good team. They can shoot the lights out of the ball, great defensively. They are a team that should definitely be on people's radar going into this late of the tournament. So those are my Final Four picks. And now let's move on to the Shohei Ohtani drama, if you will, that's been going on and developing over the last few days of him and his gambling problems with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Arsh, why don't you give us the details on this and your opinion on it?
Yeah, so like you said, there's been some controversy specifically around gambling and Shohei Ohtani. When you talk about gambling in the MLB, that's a hot topic already. I mean, guys like Pete Rose, one of the greatest hitters in all of baseball, got banned for his career from coming to an MLB game, from making it to the Hall of Fame, from playing in the MLB because he was betting on games. So what happened here is Shohei Ohtani has had his interpreter with him, I think, since he's been in the MLB. They've been really good friends. They are always there during press conferences, during opening day, everything. And what happened was his friend ended up sending millions of dollars for gambling purposes. We don't know if that's because of Shohei asking for that money to be sent for him, or if it's because of because it's in his interpreter. From the start, what Shohei and the interpreter said was the interpreter couldn't pay the money back, and so what Shohei Ohtani did was he gave the interpreter money, and then the interpreter would send it to a bookie so that they could use it for their gambling purposes and paying back their debts. The problem is the MLB doesn't allow that to happen. So that was the first story they had in their first press conference. And then I think about 24 to 48 hours later, the narrative, Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter completely switched up their story. Said that he got robbed. It was a massive theft. Completely changed their story. So this is a classic case of something fishy is happening here. And I would bet that it's not. Shohei Ohtani doesn't know as little as he claims to know. I think it could be Shohei Ohtani betting through his interpreter so that he wouldn't get in trouble. His interpreter might have done bad stuff and could be facing criminal charges because it's illegal, I believe, to sports bet in LA. So the point is, it's a huge mess. And the problem is that it's Shohei Ohtani. He's the number one guy, he's the face of baseball, he's an international market by himself. And he's playing for the most reputable brand, other than the Yankees, probably the most reputable team and marketable team in all of America. My take on this is it's just a hot mess. And what are you supposed to do? You can't, first of all, there's no question that he's not going to get banned for life. He's probably not going to get banned for the season, may not even get suspended because he's planning on playing during opening day. All we know is his interpreter is not going to be with him anymore. So it's just a hot mess. I think Shohei Ohtani and MLB players need to be really vigilant about this stuff, especially because this isn't the NFL where you just can't get banned for a year. This is really serious stuff, and especially for Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers and even the MLB, this is a really, really bad look that they have to turn a blind eye to one of the most reputable stars in the MLB.
I agree. This is going to be a really bad, well, it is already a bad situation and it continues to get worse. But with the Los Angeles Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani, think about it. He is a face of baseball, like you said, won the World Baseball Classic, striking out his former teammate and to win the World Baseball Classic with Japan. And then we know his whole story coming to the MLB, was a highly sought after player, ended up signing with the Angels, played an incredible few years there. Entered free agency, signed a 10-year deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers,
Crazy.
$500 million or something insane like that. I can't remember the specifics. I think it was around there.
He's absolutely changed the game with each
Exactly.
way player.
Exactly. And if you think about that, he's been an MVP before. He's been a Cy Young candidate and an MVP candidate Both in at the same time in the same year. He's a revolutionary player to the game. Now you have a situation where, say, for example, Tom Brady got caught sports betting. Think about it like that. Except this is with an interpreter. So there is something fishy going on. Like you said, it is a mess. But if you look at it, how the MLB and the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to think about it. They really can't do anything like extreme here. Like it's a biased system, very clearly. Like if this is some random guy, maybe, but it's Shohei Ohtani, the guy that is known universally as the, if you say baseball, he's gonna be one of the first names brought up
The
around the
best player in
world.
baseball right now.
Exactly. Best player in baseball right now, signed the biggest deal known to baseball at this point. Like he is the MLB at this point.
You remember Fernando Tatis, like the man for baseball a couple years ago, got suspended for 80 games, and he said that was an accident, that his trainer fed him some stuff, and he just said, "Yeah, I'll take it." And he immediately set his suspension went through it. I think what needs to happen, it's not going to be even close to a year. I guarantee it. They're not going to take Shohei Ohtani out for that long. What needs to happen is Shohei Ohtani needs to be gone for at least 30 games. I understand that it might not be his fault, that this might be a big misunderstanding. And more details will come out through the MLB's investigation. But what needs to happen is there needs to be some type of action taken because this needs to be an example for the MLB that in this day and age, it doesn't matter how good you are, it can't happen. I don't even know if it's going to be severe, but I think it needs to be at least 30 games to set the record straight and to put a foot down on this type of action. That's a win for the Dodgers and for Shohei. It's only 30 games, but I think that's still substantial enough that the fans and Pete Rose would be happy with it.